Beloved, you are now tuned in to Three Black Men, a podcast by three black men where we talk about theology, culture, and the world around us. The following content may not be suitable if you ain't real enough. Listener discretion is advised, because real recognize real. Here's the hope when we look familiar.
Welcome everybody back to the pod. My name is Robert.
I'm Sam.
And I'm Trey.
And this is the Three Black Men. Welcome, brothers.
Hey. Yeah. What's going on?
Except today is not three black men.
Right.
It's four black men.
It's doing some things.
Okay, so Trey, go ahead and introduce. We got a special guest on the pod.
Today we have a special guest, Dr. Olajide Bamashigben, aka Dr. Jide, aka Dr. Bam, aka Big G, aka Dr. Big G, aka I'm sorry.
You got more aliases than Method Man. What's going on?
Yeah, man. But this is a dear friend of mine. We met back in college at the University of Miami. Went there at the same time. G-Day's from Miami originally. I am not. So he was one of the people who kind of held it down for all those people who didn't know what the game was down there. And G-Day graduated way back in the day, 2012, with a degree, a bachelor's in psychology before going on out to California, where he got a PhD in health psychology. Was a professor out there for a few years and is now doing his own thing, not only consulting, but also in the big world of corporate America, lending knowledge to the people. And I'm excited for this conversation because we brought Dr. G-Day on here to have a conversation about mental health, particularly as it pertains to Black men, and not only as a subject matter expert, but as somebody who is trying to navigate what it means to be a Black man and dealing with taking care of his own mental health right there. So I'm excited about this because I don't imagine this being too clinical all the way out, but I want y'all to rest assured in knowing that the brother know what he's talking about, you know?
Thank you so much for that introduction. That's like the kindest thing anybody said about me. Thank you.
I had to cut it short too, because I didn't even tell him, like, you G-Day got me on Essence Fest, bro. Like,
we did do Essence Fest together. I say that to myself at least once a week. Like, man, you know, I did Essence Fest. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like don't talk to us like we regular. Yeah, don't right. Do not do that.
Yesterday's price.
It's not today's price.
Thank you.
Exactly. So welcome, G-Day. Dr. G-Day, welcome to the pod. We appreciate you. Yeah, I will start out. I have a question just to set the table for us talking about Black mental health. I first interacted with you through funny comments you would make, funny jokes that you would make online. And I've always enjoyed your presence, the glimpses I've gotten to know you. But I guess we can start here with sometime over the past 2 years, you were pretty open about your own mental health struggles. And that made me respect you more because you were super transparent with things that were going on with you. And so as much as you're willing to share, I would just like to start it there with your own mental health.
You know? Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much. And, you know, I obviously enjoy interacting with y'all online, you know, all the time, just arguing about stuff. You know, it's always fun that way.
You do have trash food takes, I would say. That.
You know, but you need the worst. Like, yeah.
You know, we'll agree to disagree. You know what I'm saying?
I just want you to know, like, and Sam may say nothing yet, but at the very least, Rob and I very much agree on this disagreement. Like, we Avengers assemble on this one. Like,
before we get into it, there are things that you agree with me on, though. You know what I'm saying? It's not universally like bad.
That like, is okay, true.
I'll take it.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, yeah, you know, that's two areas to bridge the gaps, you know.
There we go.
No, but you know, I really appreciate being on. Thank y'all so much. You know, I'm really excited to talk about this topic. It's near and dear to me. Like, as a professor, this is an area that I studied. I studied depression, particularly in Black fathers, right? And how it affects them, how it affects their family. What are factors that make them feel depressed, right? And then also, you know, I'm just a person who's living in this world, a Black man living in this world, trying to navigate, struggling with, you know, whatever types of different issues that I may have. So, you know, I have been diagnosed with major depression. So I have major depression. It's chronic. You know, the way I describe it is an episode is like my birthday. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know it's coming. Like, at some point I'm going to just have it and it's coming. I'm just going to feel down. I'm just going to feel sad. But what's most important is prepping for it, you know, like seeing it early, identifying it early, right? No, okay. My sleep is messed up, right? I'm not eating right. You know, I'm feeling down, my moods, I'm super irritable. Okay, that might mean something, right? You know, that's always where I start.
Yeah, man. I think that's like critical in acknowledging that, and even like the tone which you just said, like, no, this is what it is, and mm-hmm. and this is my reality. It's mm-hmm. coming back around. It is what it is, and I think that's one of those things that when we accept that, whether or not you yourself deal with it, every single person knows somebody who deals mm-hmm. with depression. Yep. Every single person. And for me, it's literally all around my family, like mm-hmm. extended family, nuclear family, all of that stuff. But even just hearing that and everything, taking that with you helps you to start processing how you can better serve and care for the people around you mm-hmm. that deal with depression and are living with depression, you know?
Absolutely. You know, you can't fix a problem without identifying it first. You know what I'm saying? It is impossible to try to say, all right, I'm going to fix it, because you don't even know what the problem is.
Yeah. Go ahead, Sam.
Oh, no. And I think, I mean, it there's no secret, like, especially amongst Black people, this generally isn't an area that we typically acknowledge. And then you throw in the patriarchal factor on top of that, of, you know, men don't talk about feelings. Just acknowledging the mood swings. For me, I had the signs all my life, but it was always told to me as like, you have an anger problem, or, you know, you just lash out at people, you hold stuff in and you lash out at people, and then the depression would come. But there was just that refusal. So in your studies, like, I know you said you're a Black father yourself, right? So how are you helping, or like, is there something that you have seen or that you can recommend, or to for fathers to even recognize those signs early in their children? Like, because you said you study like how that would impact their families as well. So is that something that you've seen or that you could probably speak to?
You know, absolutely. I've studied it mostly in younger kids, so not really like older kids, where you would actually formalize it as, okay, this is depression, what we call depression. But in kids, you know, there's certain behaviors that you can be aware of, right? How are they doing in school? You know, and I do want to point out, I'm not a clinician, by the way. Like, I'm just a researcher who studies this. I don't provide therapy.
Right.
You know, it's, look, how are they doing in school? Have they had just like a rapid change in their personality, right? Out of nowhere, right? Maybe something's happened, right? You know, do you have a family history of it, right? Like, do you see it around you, right? Because like the way you described it, it's I've felt it all this time, right? But until you had the word and the definition, it was just all these other things, right? It's just a million clouds, right? But you have the word, now you can see the full picture.
Gotcha.
Yeah. You know? I love that. And, you know, I enjoy how you're entering this conversation. You said as a researcher, and then as someone who's had, you know, your own mental health struggles. And I want to take a second to like back up and think about all of the ways that people intersect with the term mental health, especially Black mental health, because I think the thing that I encounter all the time is people think of mental health in extremes, right? And so some people might say, I don't deal with depression and it doesn't look like that dark, dark, dark place, or I don't deal with anxiety in its most acute forms. And something that I like to think about is the full range of mental health and what that looks like. What are we aiming for? Those things that are not normal, right? And so I think sometimes people struggle because they're not suicidal or they're not debilitated, but they suffer from other things. So what are thoughts about that, especially among Black men?
The point you're making is so valid. I think when most people think of mental health issues, they think of an unhoused person around the street yelling obscenities. You know what I'm saying? The archetype of quote unquote crazy, you know, like, yeah. And that's what people think of. And everybody's like, hey, listen, I'm not that. You know, I'm definitely not that. Like, don't let me in with those people, right?
Or dude on drink champs. Yeah.
Right. or exactly like, you know, Mr. West on drink champs, right? Also, we need to hold 5 minutes at the end to talk about him related specifically to this also.
Yeah, we will.
We have to.
We absolutely will.
You know, but people have this idea of what it means, right? Like it's this, the worst possible image you can think of in your head of what it is. So they go, well, I'm not that, so it's not bad, right? But the reality is your life may still be being affected with a diagnosis, right? Even if you don't meet the necessary definitions for a diagnosis, right? Because you have to have experienced it for a certain length of time, a certain number of symptoms, it can still be impacting your life, right? It's still making you sad, still not eating right, not sleeping right, not living right. And you got to do what you got to do to take care of yourself, you know?
Yeah. No, I agree with that. And I think we've talked on this podcast about the different ways that our mental health has struggled, or goals that we have to be a more thriving, effectual person in our families and in society. And like, we're all completely different. Mm-hmm. Sam and I have roughly, we are twins, and in the ways that we struggle are like the exact same. Yeah. We are on the extreme end, and Trey is mostly like, hey, I'm cool, I'm chilling. Like, I'm not struggling like y'all. And I think it's important to
not say that.
No, but it's important to say, like, the ways that our mental health can be impacted or strengthened look completely different. You know, all four of us on this call have different thoughts, feelings, triggers, right? And so I just want to lift that up too, right?
Yeah. And I think too, like, there's something to be said about the way we tend to default to the worst case scenario, or typically what we think might be the worst, and pin that as the definition. I think that's horrible. And I think a lot of that, and Dr. G, that you could probably, I mean, is that I feel like that's just a lot of uneducation, like, or miseducation about things. So I'm glad, like, we have you on, and we're talking about these things, because especially in our community, man, there's a lot of things, you know, that we have to acknowledge, because we need to stop making certain podcasts, you know.
you're absolutely right. There's certain podcasts that need to be ended yesterday.
Really?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Trey. You were about to say something.
Yeah.
You know what? I don't know what I was about to say, but I did have a question, and I'm sorry. This is going to seem like an abrupt pivot or whatever, because like right now you're speaking out of expertise and everything, but just with regards to your own journey, like certain things that I noticed, like two things at the forefront of my mind right now is, at one point, particularly during the beginning of the pandemic, when we didn't know what was going on. Well, we still don't know what's going on, but we definitely didn't back then. You had started sharing, first there were sketches that you were working on. And then eventually you upgraded to an iPad and there were digital images. And I'm curious, first and foremost, to know if that was completely unrelated, or if that was something that you were doing as like just recreation for the sake of like your mental health.
That's exactly what that was. I picked up, you know, I think probably when we was all kids, we used to draw a little Dragon Ball Z, you know, type stuff a little bit, but kind of fell out of it, you know. Mm-hmm. But during the pandemic, April 2020, I brought a book that said how to draw in 30 days, and just said, all right, I'm gonna do it. you know? And surprisingly, and I won't say surprisingly, but I actually had time, like for the first time in my life, like in my adult life, I just had time because I was at home all day with my kids and my wife and my sister and just, we're just chilling. So I had the ability to do stuff. So I just drew. And it really helped my mental. It really helped my mental health. You know, having an outlet to express yourself creatively is always good. And just being busy doing something with your hands, you know, it's really important.
Hey, man, I ain't gonna hold you. Like, that helped my mental health too. Like, I would just watch you post and stuff, and I'm like, yo, because you can even back me up on this. I had to text you a couple times, like, yo, what are you using? Because, like, when you switched to the iPad, I was like, yo, this dude is in his bag. You left the university. I thought you was about to start a gallery or something.
Thank you. You know, I definitely got better. I got better, you know, that's a good thing, you know, when you see yourself, like, I still remember the first day I drew myself. Right, like the very first image that I drew of myself that was recognizable as myself, because you know you tried before but it didn't look like me. I still remember it, you know, like it was yesterday, and that was 2 years ago. But it's special, very special.
Yeah. What other, you know, we're listing drawing as something that was helping to get you through. What other activities, rituals, people were helping you and are helping you now?
Yeah, for sure. Gym, I try to go to the gym, you know, as much as possible. That's something that, you know, and it's really hard to go to the gym when you're depressed, but it's really important for you to go to the gym when you're depressed, right? Like that is one of the, if there's 8 rules of happiness, eat right, talk to your friends, go to the gym is number 3, like right there, you know? So that's something else I do. You know, I spend a lot of time on Twitter meeting y'all and talking to y'all. Like that, really, just having social support and social ties, communicating with people about stuff in positive ways, you know, like joking around, like all of that really, really has supported me and kept me afloat during this time.
I want you to share about swimming too, because that was a good story.
I learned how to swim also, you know, so I am one of the, what, it's like 60-70% of Black people who did not know how to swim, you know?
Of which I am one.
But go ahead. Also because of racism, you know, and all that stuff, reasons why we don't know. It's not inherently because we don't want to swim.
Yeah, let the people know. There's a history back there like that exists.
Us being excluded from pools, of them shutting down pools when they were supposed to get integrated. It's a whole long, you know, the history
of them draining pools if we got into them.
Even now, where are the pools? They're not in just the neighborhoods most of us grew up in.
Right.
Better say that.
You know, fact of life. It's true. Yeah. But you know, I'm a grown up now with real job, you know, my wife and kids, and I have a local YMCA that I go to, and you know, my kids are swimming, you know, my kids are 7 and 4 and they've been in swimming since they were 2-3, just getting in the water, making them comfortable. And last year I said, I'm gonna get to it. And I went twice a week, and I still remember it was lesson 6. It was the 6th lesson that I was like, I could do this. You know, like for the first 30 years of my life, it's been, I get in the water, I just sink. It's not happening. But I finally was like, oh, okay. You know, and it's really hard. Like like, if you know how to swim, like it's probably second nature to you, but it's a lot of different things to coordinate at one time.
Yeah. When you have that moment like that, like I got it. Is there like a mental pivot there to where you feel like, okay, like, especially if, you know, say you recognize the signs of depression, right? Like, and you can feel that coming on, and then, you know, you have something like that's just there, so tangible, to kind of help. Is that kind of help pivot?
Absolutely.
That, or
it's having those types of days will boost you for weeks. You know what I'm saying? Like achieving something that you've always wanted to do, overcoming difficulties, you know, like particularly because not just I didn't know how to swim, I was scared of the water, you know, because I know it's a dangerous place, you know?
Yeah.
But like being able to go, I could do this, you know, like enjoying it. But I also didn't, I'll say I didn't take it too long, because my next step is, all right, now I can do it. Now I got to learn how to side breathe. You know what I'm saying? And learn how to swim on it and breathe. And okay, next thing I got to learn how to do it on my back. You know, next thing, like I'm always thinking about the next thing. which is helpful. It's good to have goals.
Are you still at it?
So the summer, there was limited lessons, but I'm back in the fall. So starting the fall. Yeah.
All right.
Hey, and I wanted to say, like, and I've told you this before, how inspiring that was for me. One, because of my own fear that I have. And one day I'm going to be there with my Nike gear on. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Nike. If y'all
Nike did send me some free stuff. Shout out to Nike.
Yeah, I was like, shout out to Nike.
They did send me.
Are we getting paid for this? What is happening right now?
Swimming app, I don't know. I didn't.
Even
I didn't
know I'm bald. But
I didn't get no check in the mail or trade. I'm just playing.
But you did get free stuff from Nike. So I was.
Yeah. That's what's
but
up.
It was inspiring to me on that level. And then also on a very personal level of, I buried two young ones who drowned because they couldn't swim. Mm-hmm. And so seeing someone, you know, take the leap to not only learn how to swim, but to, you know, get out of that 60-70% of us who don't know how to swim. I think that will mean more than you ever know, right? Because we can't achieve things that we cannot see. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah. So Black men can swim. That was inspiring to me. Yeah.
Thank you. I'm happy to hear that. You know, and if you can't, I believe in you. You know, I believe in you. It just takes time, because you know, and particularly if you're used to being the kind of person who gets things quickly, it's super frustrating, right? Because you're like, everything else, I get it, you know, the first try, but it's doable. Mm.
Yeah.
I think that's important to acknowledge about, because you even mentioned like, yo, it's hard. And as something that might sound odd to people who just grown up knowing how to swim. But if you think about it, ain't nobody on this call younger than 30 right now. Like nobody in this conversation is younger than 30. And if you spend 30 years of your life walking around on 2 feet or part of that crawling around on four limbs, and you're used to like just gravity working in a certain way. And even if you know how to ride a bike, like it pretty much goes the same way. Put yourself in the water. That's way different. That's not, we don't belong there.
Not even gravity really has a say inside of water, right? Like gravity might be able to help shape water in some ways, but it can't like affect you in the water. So yeah, water's, you got to respect water, man. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's important to name, just in terms of being both gracious and patient with yourself, because a lot of the stuff that we're trying to do, if you only know one way of being, you try to pick up a new habit or a new skill or something like that, it's going to take time. If you only used to being one way or doing things a certain way for so long that, like, so I'm talking about swimming, but I'm not talking about swimming right now. Like, we got to be patient with yourself.
Yeah. A lot of that.
I hear you. I have this curiosity of, you were part of the statistic during the pandemic of those who radically switched jobs, careers, and part of that it seemed linked to exhaustion and burnout and your mental health. And so talk to us a bit about that. And I know a lot of people, both who are not Black and who are not in your same circumstance, felt a lot of what you have expressed. So
Absolutely. So over the pandemic, so I worked as a college professor for 4.5 years at two universities in California, Cal State LA and then Cal State Long Beach. And I switched from LA to Long Beach at the start of the pandemic. Like when I got the job, there was no pandemic. But when I started the job, I never went into the building. You know, I can't stress enough to you, like at Cal State Long Beach, I never went into my lab. I never went to my office, not one time. Right. Pandemic.
Yeah.
You're like, yeah, I don't know what that place looks like. I do.
But I don't know her, you know?
Yeah.
This pandemic. And I think once again, like I said, I finally had more, so I'm not driving all the time, right? Like work is a little bit more on the back burner. I finally had time. And I had been going, I went from high school straight to college, straight from college, straight to my PhD, straight from my PhD, straight to my professor. I never just stopped and paused and thought about like my life and what I want to do and how I'm using my time. And I realized just as a professor, I was having my time and energy devoted to so many different people that I'm not able to fill my own cup anymore, you know? Like, and I have a bunch of students that I love that I want to take care of, right? both as a researcher who I'm trying to train into researchers, as well as in my class, as well as this university I got to do. And then I got a wife, I got my own kids, I got my own problems also. And more than anything, and I'll say this to anybody, and this is the God's honest truth, it just didn't pay enough, you know? And that affected my mental, being broke will affect, nothing in the world will affect your mental health like being broke.
Man. That's an isolated word.
Get the collection plate, because this man preach.
I seen the clip of Samuel L. Jackson on the Breakfast Club, where they asked him, it was like, oh, like, how do you always seem so like chipper and everything? And he was like, I make enough money that I don't have to worry about those problems. He said, money won't solve everything, but if you make enough of it, it'll take care of a lot of it.
It's an undeniable fact. Right. Like if you're stressed about how you're going to pay your rent, that's a whole different stress than what am I going to eat for lunch? You know, am I going to eat this or this one? Right. They don't compare, you know.
Yeah.
So it was just like I'm doing all this work. I'm doing all of this work. Right. For all of these people. I'm trying to set up all these people and try to support my own career for not enough money for the place where I live. Right. Because also I live in Southern California. Right, where milk is $7. Right now, gas is $6.59 at my closest gas station.
I don't know.
For 87. Okay, that's not the premium price. That's the
wow. You said don't get it twisted. This is the lowest one.
$6.59. You know, like it's I just reached a point where I was like, this is not affordable. So and I also was exhausted too, working through the pandemic, working for these people, trying to support everybody. I was just really exhausted. So, you know, I spoke to my therapist and my psychiatrist, and I was able to get medical leave, right, where I just got to rest, you know, although I was still working in different capacities because nobody, academia is really bad on boundaries, you know, academia is really bad on boundaries. And I'm sure many other academics will attest to this. Like people just feel like everybody feels like what they're doing with you is the only thing that you're doing. Right. Yeah. You know, but I have 120 students. I can't do this for you. Right. Because if I do it for you, I have to do it for 119 other people. I can't, you know, but I was able to just go and rest and realize that, you know, this just not, this not in my, it's not in my plan anymore. You know, I didn't even know if it's ever something I really wanted to do. I just kind of did it because it was a opportunity that was available, you know? Mm. Yeah.
Was there a certain moment or a certain turning point or hinge point where you knew I definitely need to tap out? Or was it a collection of moments?
I woke up one, it wasn't like any triggering event, but I woke up one day and was like, yeah, I texted my department chair. I was like, yeah, I'm taking medical leave starting Monday. I'm not doing this anymore. You know, all the paperwork stuff, it'll get figured out, but I'm gonna be gone. You know, I just couldn't do it.
Wow.
Yeah. And in that time, I also found a new job, and I work in the corporate world for a health insurance company, where I will tell you, man, the pay is much better. You know, and that was a
your skin is shining, brother. Yeah.
You know, the pay was better. Like I'm not even gonna lie to you, but I've never worked in the corporate world before. Right, particularly in like the position I was in. So it's not, grass is not always greener, you know, like it's a whole different world with a whole different set of problems, right? Like there are some days where I'm like, you know, being fresher wasn't so bad, you know, for XYZ reasons, right? Like I can go on Twitter and say whatever I want as a professor, nothing. I can go on Twitter and say my university president is a doodoo head and nothing can happen to me. You know what I'm saying? But like, I can go on the most obscure podcast in the world that has zero listeners, right? And if I say the wrong thing and somebody at my job hears that thing, I'll be gone in an hour, you know? So it's is different. It's different.
It's give and take. Wow.
Yeah, Raina, and I'm sorry if I'm making it hot. Are you still on Twitter?
Yeah, I am no longer on Twitter.
Yeah, you left us, right? Okay.
That would make sense. I mean, given the job, that would kind of, I probably would dip out to.
Is that the reason why? Was it because of the job? Or was that like, this is a toxic place and I'm not doing it no more? Or a combination of the two? Or we don't got to talk about that?
No. Nothing's off limits. Nothing's off limits. I know exactly what made me leave. I know. Okay. I can tell you exactly what it was.
Trey.
Do you remember the therapist who was like, black men need to get their like emotional intelligence and like, you know, that whole thing. Yeah. And for me, she had that video and she had other videos, right? I'm not even focused on that video, the one where she identified herself as a psychologist and was, black men, y'all need to, you know, whatever, whatever. She had another one where like, literally she just was like, what's your favorite flavor of black man? Hardworking, but I can't seem to find it. It's just trafficking like the absolute most negative stereotypes about black men, okay? And this person was a black woman, but for me, I'm like, listen, I don't care. I don't like it. Like, don't talk about me or my group like that. You know, but you know, just the discourse around it was awful. It was awful on Twitter. And I was like, I can't do this anymore. Like, if we can't just call wrong, wrong anymore, I don't need to be here.
I hear that.
Thank you for sharing.
Yeah.
Hey, I was curious because like at one point like, I went to like hit you. I was like, why is it?
You're blocked.
Right.
Like, gee, they blocked me? No, but no, that makes sense. And I ain't gonna hold you. It's been a couple times where I didn't almost found myself in a similar place where I look at something, I'm like, wait, am I on crazy pills? And I mean, like, nah, let's talk about the little Zoolander GIF. Like, nah, I don't mean that in like any negative sense, but like every now and then, and then I have to remind myself personally, I'm not trying to like persuade you every now and then that we find ourselves in certain areas and arenas where it's not necessarily representative of like real life. And I have to remind myself because I spend a lot of time on Twitter. And I use it as a tool of creation. And I even use that to humble myself because like some people are like, oh, you're Twitter famous now, like you have X number of followers and everything, but that's not real life. It's O's and ones, and it's really easy for people to gas you. So I have to like remind myself that all that stuff is fickle, like change like the wind at any given moment. Because we used to call them trending topics for a reason, you know. It's a trend. So I hear that, and kudos to you for knowing when being in a certain space is no longer beneficial for yourself.
Yeah.
I ain't gonna lie, I miss it. I made a lot of friends on there. I'm not even gonna lie to you. There's times where I'm like, man, I should tweet that. I know that'll start an argument. Like, you know, some. But you know, I also was spending a lot of time on there. You know, like to the point, literally, first thing I wake up, all right, I'm on Twitter, you know, scrolling through. So it's also an attempt to just scale back my social media usage.
Yeah, I want to say that I missed like the list that you would put out, like of the snack rings, but I also don't want to lie to you, so I'm not.
I was like, oh man.
You're like, oh man. I want to underscore something, and then I do want to talk about Mr. West.
Go ahead. Because that's where I was going to go. So
yeah,
go
look at us twinning again. I want to underscore that point you made about poverty being this element that can really crush our mental health. And I like to think of it as poverty can be soul crushing. And even if you're not at the actual poverty line, financial stress can be something that as Black men, we don't take account for in the ways that it impacts our moods, our mood, our emotions, the way that we fight over resources with one another. And I want to highlight that for a second and not let that just get lost. Like, how does money impact our mental health as Black men? And I think I'm curious if you have any other thoughts on that.
Absolutely. You know, we live in environments, you know, like we're not just people just all on a blank canvas. You know, we live in certain environments and nothing dictates the environment you're going to be in. Like, even it's not even your money, it's how much money your parents had.
Ooh. Okay.
Nothing in life dictates how your life is going to turn out, like how much money your parents had.
Wow.
Because what type of environment are you growing up in? What type of schools are you going to? What type of access to medical care are you getting, right? What types of neighborhoods are you living in? What's going on outside, right? You know, yeah. Are there swimming pools and soccer fields, right? Or are there needles, right? And mm-hmm. and people fighting, right? All of that stuff. And particularly just that experience, trauma, you know, it's just trauma. Traumatic life experiences that happen, unfortunately, when you live in impoverished environments, right? Like you're at your parents have a hard time finding childcare, so they'll leave you with anybody, right? Yeah. What happens being left with any, like so many ways, right? It just dictates your environment, right? And how much money you're gonna have later on in your life, right? Once again, it's directly related to how much money your parents had. What are they able to provide for you to go to college if that's what you want to do, right? Or go to trade school, help you, where are you going to live, right? Are you the parents of the type, when you're 18, all right, you got to get out. Sorry, we don't have space for you no more? Mm. All of that.
Yeah, you're right.
That kind of ties back in earlier when we were talking about poverty being a driving factor in depression, other mental health issues, is that mm-hmm. when we are cut off from resources and the things that would lead to us having an easier existence, we will try to find the next best thing. And if we can't get money and those resources, then we will try to approximate power wherever we can. Mm-hmm. And if that can't be over, like the people that we're angry at, we're gonna find the next best person. And often that leads to us beating up on Black women or beating up on the queer community or whatever, because we will find power and harness it where we can. But at the end of the day, it's why it's important that we get in the habit of naming things and being open about where we're struggling at and the frustrations that we have. Yep. So I really appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule and thank your wife and the children for letting us borrow you for a moment. And,
yeah, man.
Because you've given us so much to think about. But I appreciate you. Before we wrap, though, is there a word or anything that you want to leave with the people?
Well, I truly thank y'all for having me on here. This conversation has been like life-giving, you know, so I'm like, cool. Like, I'm about to step out of this, you know, back to the kids and wife. It's going to be crazy, but I'm in a good mood now. So thank you. Hey, what's up, man? Let me see. What do I have to say? I'll stick on the topic of mental health. You know, one reason why people don't talk about it a lot is because they're feeling shame about it. But I want you to know there is no shame in having a mental health issue, whatever it is, depression, anxiety, obsessive compulsive disorder, whatever it is, there's no shame in it. And yeah, man, like there's no shame in bad things happening to you, right? Mm. So like some people feel like, oh, I don't want to talk about this bad thing happening, I'm ashamed of it. There's no shame in other people acting bad. Like, so that's why I'm always happy to tell my story or tell whatever story. And if it's involving other people and they're behaving badly, I don't feel no shame about it, right? But even there's also times where I have to look at my own behavior, right? Mm-hmm. You know, a hard pill to swallow is that some of your problems are your own fault.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, so just know that there's nothing to be ashamed of, right? And also, you also got to look inward. So I'll leave it there.
Hey, I appreciate you. Yeah, beloved, that has been Dr. Olajide Bagbemigbin. We got to do this again sometime, man.
Absolutely. Whenever. Want to talk about fatherhood? Let me know. That's another area I can get deep in. So,
hey, don't play with it. We will.
I talked about a new segment. We're going to talk about what's on the front burner, some things that we are excited about personally as individuals, and bringing that and sharing that with y'all.
What's up, y'all? This your boy Sam, and I am back with another installment or another edition, whichever, of On the Front Burner. And today, well, you know what, and right now what I got on the front burner is I'm trying to manage and stay, actually I guess trying to stay ahead a little bit of my mental health, you know what I'm saying, with keeping in tune with what's going on. I know typically, like, during the holidays, you know, seasonal depression comes and goes, like it does for a lot of people. And so I'm just trying to stay ahead of that, you know what I'm saying? That, you know, I'm for one very excited for the holidays this year. This is our first holiday in our very own home, and so we're excited to do Thanksgiving and Christmas here with the kids. We got onesies and everything planned, so we got a whole theme. It's gonna be cute. So I'm very excited for that, but you know, at the same time, I'm still you know, being honest, you know, trying to be honest with myself and how I feel. So this is your, like, sign to do a self-assessment and make sure that you are doing okay. All right, so that's what we got on the front burner, right? We gonna take care of ourselves. We gonna take care of our mental. We gonna do a self-assessment, and we gonna be honest with ourselves how we doing. And if we need to talk to somebody, we gonna reach out, right? All right, yeah. So that's what I got on the front burner. I love y'all. Stay tuned for the episode. Three Black Men, let's go.
We now have a Patreon, which I want to encourage each and every one of y'all to visit at patreon.com/threeblackmen. Think through it, pray through it, ask God if he would have you partake in this work that we're doing, because on top of some bonus content here, we have some blog pieces going up. There's going to be some devotional content coming out, and I want to encourage you guys to visit that Patreon, patreon.com/threeblackmen.
Go watch my kids ruin my videos.
Go ahead, watch them. Them babies ain't ruin nothing, man. Matter of fact, there's more people going to sign up to see them babies. How about that, bro?